This is the Pursuit of Habit podcast. We interview some of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world today and unpack their unique behind-the-scenes habits that you've never heard about. Cheetung is committed to bring the same level of analytics, sophistication, and scientific rigor to managing people as is currently applied to managing finance and customers. He is the CEO of EngageRocket, an HR tech startup that helps to automate employee experience insights across the lifecycle of each employee. Before becoming an entrepreneur, he was the regional director of Gallup in Southeast Asia. He read economics at the University of Cambridge and has an MA in political science from Columbia University. So the first thing we ask everyone who comes onto the show is, how did you get to where you are today?
Mine was a pretty circuitous journey, Logan. I think I started out reading economics in Cambridge for my undergraduate, going on to Columbia for my master's in political science, all under a military scholarship from the Singapore Navy. So I came back and served as a combat officer on one of our ships, one of our missile corvettes, actually. And the way it works is you start out your naval career as a junior officer, so you literally have to do everything. Scrubbing decks, pulling ropes, trying to figure out how to drive a ship at the same time and learn about warfare. And a big part of that, you have 70-odd people on your ship is tapping onto the tacit knowledge of the people around you. The knowledge that you get from this kind of thing is never going to come from, well, it can come from books, but a lot of the practical applications, you do need to build relationships and learn from others. So I spent that the first 6 years of my career post-graduation learning the ropes to become, I'd say, a pretty good naval warfare officer. And during that time, I was exposed to having to lead teams of sailors who were far more experienced than me, and to the tune of 10, 15, 20 years in service, having to take orders from this really young lieutenant who doesn't know anything, right? And then trying to gain their respect and at the same time get them to help me and get them to understand what the whole team is trying to achieve was a difficult task, despite all the hours of military leadership training that was thrown at us. And so my next move after I left the Navy was to figure out, okay, I was really interested in the business world. I figured we were living in the technology, the golden age of technology, really. And it's like living in the Renaissance, except for our age. So I really wanted to get into business in a bigger way. So, but I had no background in technology or anything. So I went into consulting to try to understand business more broadly. What I intended to be a two-year stint ended up to be 5 years, mainly because I was given the opportunity to take on a regional management role within a global consulting company. So that took me across the different markets in Southeast Asia, trying to understand the different cultures, how people work together, different companies, different languages, different cultures within the same country. And that was a really interesting challenge. So I spent a good 5 years doing that. But and during that time, I had the fortune of meeting and working with my co-founder quite closely across pretty much all of those 5 years on all the different projects that we did within Asia Pacific, Middle East, we built a good working relationship. Very complementary strengths, very complementary ways of approaching different business problems. And number two, I think because of the domain expertise that we both had, it made a lot of sense to look into how we could do things better than how we were running it in a consulting company. So that particular consulting company was very focused on organizational research, running employee engagement surveys, training, leadership development, that kind of thing. And so we, one of the big challenges that we realized very early on was that the data across all of these different domains was never, so number one, the data was not talking to each other. Say if you did a leadership 360, it never had any correlation with your employee engagement scores from last year and so on. And then the other thing that we discovered was that running annual surveys of your employees was just not effective in helping leaders understand exactly what to do with those results, because there was so much lag in between the actual data collection and when the reports came out. And then subsequently, you find yourself trying to plan actions with your team maybe 5 to 6 months after the survey was done, which becomes no longer business relevant. Half your team has changed. Your targets and situations entirely different. So this was always a very ironically disengaging exercise for many of the customers and clients we worked with at that time. So we were wondering how technology could help, not just with the turnaround time of running analyses, but also in the automation of data collection, and being able to build data models that would be able to pull in information from across multiple different silos, so that you don't get shallow analyses which are not even relevant to begin with. So with that, my co-founder and I decided to leave the consulting job and start Engage Rocket. And I mean, in between, there were a bunch of stuff that we had to do to generate revenue. But within about 9 months, we had pretty much gotten our early validation. We had a minimum viable product that was selling. And then we decided, okay, it's time to incorporate the company and start formally building this into a business.
Wow, that's an amazing story. And a couple of things that kind of came out of that for me. So when you were in the Navy for those many years, did you think about entrepreneurship or I guess leading people in the engagement space or working with people? I mean, how did your experience in that role leading people who were more experienced kind of take you to your next step? You have that kind of passion already, or was it in your mind that you wanted to run a company one day?
I dreamed of the independence of running a company, or at least the perceived independence. I'm not a guy who's very good with hierarchy, organizational hierarchy. So it's quite difficult getting used to that in the military, as you can imagine. But definitely, the having to manage and deal with people from all walks of life. Different educational levels, different ages, different experience levels. I don't think I ever had the tools to manage that. And before I switched over into consulting, I'd read one of the books written and published by this consulting company, and I found it resonated a lot with me. And I wondered at that time, I can still remember very clearly, like why nobody gave me this book when I was first starting out as a junior manager. Like it was so brainless and easy to have like the tenets of good management kind of laid out for me and have that also backed by research. So I guess that's where the light bulb started clicking for me, that actually there could be a research-based secret sauce to being able to manage people better. And I, like, you know, I in terms of the entrepreneurial journey, That came much later. I think it was always a dream to be more independent, but I had a lot of independence as a regional director, and I was a bit cocky when I left my consulting job, thinking, you know, you've managed a regional division of a global company. How hard can it be to run your own company? You know, you learn something new every day.
What was the name of the book that you read?
It was called First Break All the Rules.
First Break All of the Rules.
First Break All the
First
Rules.
Break All.
It was published back in the late 90s, I think, early 2000s.
Okay, great. So shifting on that topic then, would you say you're passionate about what EngageRocket is offering in the market in terms of employee engagement? And I guess a second part of that, what really motivates you to wake up every day and work so hard on this company from day one?
So, to answer the first question, I'm very passionate about employee engagement, employee experience, and how people live their work lives, if that makes sense. I think we spend easily more than half of our waking lives at work, and yet when you look at global studies, if you look at even psychological research on the workplace, you find that not only are people disengaged and unhappy in their jobs, you find that the times of the day where people feel unhappiest is when they're spending time with three groups of people. Number one, their customers. Number two, their coworkers. And number three, and this is the worst one of all, their boss. And what that tells us is just how unnatural it is for many people to be at work. And in my life as a consultant and even now running EngageRocket, I run into a lot of people who have never felt engaged at work before. And for them, the concept is so alien that they look at you with this quizzical look like you're speaking a foreign language when you say that there are people that you know who actually wake up every morning thinking, I'm so excited to get to work today. And it just makes you wonder, like, why is there such a huge gulf in the life experiences of people? And it's funny that when you look at global research, like, all people want, the biggest thing that most people want in their adulthood is really to have a good job. Not a job that pays the best, but a job that they enjoy doing, that uses their strengths, that enables them to express themselves. And yet it's so hard to find. So I think I'm passionate about a problem area that we're trying to solve, but also at the same time quite realistic that I don't think any single software or theory or methodology is going to be able to solve this problem. I mean, Steve Jobs had it right when he said, all you can really hope for is to be able to make a dent in the universe, and I'm hoping that EngageRocket can make a dent in this particular universe positively. Yeah, so that's where I'm passionate about, and in terms of waking up every day, honestly, it's not easy to remind myself of this every morning, when especially when times are hard and you're going through a lot of stress. I think there are a lot of different factors that motivate me every day. One of them is actually the people that have chosen to work with us here in EngageRocket, both customers and our employees. I mean, our team is amazing. I put myself in their shoes and think, would I risk my career to join this crazy ass startup with hardly any people, hardly any customers, and decide, yeah, I'm gonna work hard for this
for this project. I'm gonna, they don't pay the best in the market. I could easily waltz into Google or Facebook or wherever else. But no, I wanna spend my this part of my career here in this tiny startup, and I feel this huge sense of responsibility for helping them to like not to let them down, for lack of a better phrase, every day, and this is literally every day. And for our customers, they're amazing. I the first few customers that we had taking a chance on this tiny startup at that time with barely a working prototype of a product, and agreeing to not just part money but also to create like an actual project and a program around what we're offering. You know, you don't get fired for hiring IBM. I don't know if you can say the same for hiring Engage Rocket, especially at that time. So I have huge respect for hugely grateful to those early customers and to our customers today who continue to support us through this journey. So it's really all of these people. Like, I feel this debt of gratitude, I suppose, too. And I just don't want to let any of them down. And of course, I mean, my co-founder, who's put up with me through this entire journey as well. Like, it just can't. I mean, all of these people and my family, who's had to be accommodating and understanding. If all of this came to naught, it would really suck. So I really, I mean, for all those reasons, very 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 grateful that I have the opportunity to get up every day and work on something that I'm passionate about. And that I can make a living for myself and my family.
It's proven that people who are held accountable to their goals are more likely to being successful. If you want to make it easier to hit your goals, I would highly recommend checking out Strides. I personally use Strides every single day to track all of my habits, and the best part is you can rely on Strides to be your own accountability partner. If you're interested in checking it out, it's completely free. Just head to pursuitofhabit.com/strides or check it out on the App Store. Yeah, and I think the common denominator that you touched in all of those examples were the people and the authentic relationships you've built with all of those people. So taking from that, I think that's really important. And it kind of leads to the next question I have for you, I guess. In the motivator for all of the people who do work for you and took a chance on Engage Rocket, do you think that your passion needs to align with your day-to-day work? Or do you think that it could just be something that you feel fulfilled, not necessarily passionate about? What are your thoughts around, I guess, what you mentioned earlier about how people are shocked to hear you when you say, you know, you can be happy going to work every day?
So I'd say that there doesn't need to be 100% alignment. But what I've noticed about the people who stay the longest and perform the best at Engage Rocket and even at my previous company, they must at least be vaguely interested in the subject area. And there needs to be some degree of passion or purpose that drives what they do every day. It's not going to motivate them every single day. And ultimately, I mean, there's almost like a Maslow's hierarchy of needs in the workplace, right? Where you need to make sure that your basic hygiene factors are looked after, you earn enough money to live, that you're clear enough about what needs to be done in your job, that your office environment works out for you, all of that stuff. But definitely having an alignment of personal values and passion with the subject area of what you're working on makes a big difference. And this applies to the functional area, functional domains, as well as the overall company space that we're in. So for example, if you happen to be passionate about both people at work as well as marketing, then you're actually a pretty good fit for a marketing role within Engage Rocket. So we, generally speaking, for the high performers that we've seen, they tend to align in both of those domain areas, the functional domain of their role, as well as the overall space that company is in.
So I'm going to shift the topic again, and I'm going to dive into a bit of the habits. And I'd really like to hear you walk us through a day in the life of Chitung. And this is from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed. And we just really want to understand, I guess, what you're doing behind the scenes to help you achieve the success you've achieved, and anything that you think may be a differentiator in that really helps you be successful.
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll take a slightly different lens on this, where I found that a day in the life for me is a little bit hard to pin down, but I picked this up from Michael Hyatt, actually. I can't remember whether it was a book or one of his podcasts, but he shared the idea of an ideal week. So planning out your week, essentially, to touch all the major buckets of your life that you want to invest in. And I really like that concept, because I'd always struggle trying to fit everything into a single day, because the reality is that my days can't be organized that way. But if I gave myself a week to plan and block out time, actually that works out quite nicely for me. So I'll give you an example of an ideal week for me, which I'd say I'm about 60-70% in terms of adherence to for most weeks. So the week is thematic, where on Mondays they tend to be team alignment days, as well as administration with and investor relations. So I'd spend most of Mondays. So Monday mornings are always team meetings. So we have a town hall every Monday morning to align everyone. We go through all the different operational areas of the business so that everyone's aware of what's going on. We then split into functional groups, sales, marketing, product, engineering, customer success, and so on. And then each functional team then has breakout meetings on what to do for the rest of that week. In the afternoons, I try as far as possible to get like business planning, literally investor relations, like just figuring out the communications, making sure that corporate governance is working fine, and if there are contracts and employee contracts and other due diligence work that needs to be done, most of these can be parked into Mondays, and then that gets done. On Tuesdays to Thursdays are Tuesdays are my deep work days, so I block out like half a day on Tuesdays to where I don't respond to Slack, I don't respond to email, SMS, whatever, and really just spend that time either learning something new or doing deep work, so creative work. For example, it could be writing a white paper, business planning in depth for the quarter, or even for the month. It could be working on a particular sales and marketing campaign, or thinking through the user journeys at a particular part of a product, or whatever it may be. And then the remainder of Tuesday all the way until pretty much Friday mornings, I spend with customers. So either meeting potential customers or existing customers, getting on the phone with them. So it's pretty free flowing along that time. And then Friday afternoons, again, it's kind of team level wrap ups, and I also schedule all my one-on-one meetings with my direct reports on Friday afternoons, so that and I do these every 2 weeks per direct report. So just to make sure that I stay in touch with them in their lives, and make sure that I can help them with whatever they need to get done. And then weekends, I try to keep mainly to family. And in terms of the daily routines, I do have some routines. My morning routines are quite simple. I get up at about 5 a.m. Most mornings. I spend half an hour meditating and praying. I'm Christian, so I do read the Bible and pray during that half an hour while meditating as well. And I carve out some time during that half an hour as well to plan for the day. So just looking through all my appointments for the day, all the tasks that I need to do and to prioritize them so that I don't enter the day blind. I spend from 5:30 to about 6:15, I wake my eldest daughter up, get her ready for school, pack onto a school bus, and then from 6:15 to 7 a.m., I'm either reading or working out. So I try to do high-intensity workouts 3 times a week for half an hour each time. So I squeeze them into that time slot. And then like from 7 to about 8, it's my other two kids, getting them up and getting them fed breakfast, getting them ready for school. And then from 8 to 9, getting them to school, getting my wife to work. And I pretty much start the workday between 9 to 9:30. And then I try to get home by dinner time to spend to have dinner with my family. Again, I've got a target of 150 dinners per year. I'm trying to make it home 150 times a year. Not sure if that's going to happen, but I'm trying. And then after that, it's normally a couple of an hour or so of catch up work before I have a screens off policy at 10 p.m. And then from 10 to 10:30, I complete the journal for the day, just kind of reviewing what was done. I keep a gratitude log as well, so I just write down what I'm grateful for from the day, and I do kind of like non-work related reading before trying to get to bed by 10:30. So that's pretty much a day, typical day for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think the coolest thing I got out of that was the gratitude log, especially that you do that at the end of the day. So you kind of reflect on what you got done that day. I think that's really important, and it's probably a big motivator to also wake up every day with feeling grateful and kind of refreshed for everything you have. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So we're going to jump to the lightning round. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. Feel free to elaborate if you like, but if not, we'll just continue and go right through all 5. So the first question is, what is your favorite business book?
This has got to be The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. I keep dipping into this all the time.
Great, great. What CEO or person are you following right now?
So it's kind of a split between Satya Nadella of Microsoft, just reading through his book Hit Refresh. I was just inspired because of I was suddenly curious about how Microsoft was producing great products again, and I wanted to find out like what went on behind that culture change. Right now the book I'm reading and following is Capital by Thomas Piketty. It's a French economist, very, very interesting on the reasons behind the inequality of wealth and income today.
Great. What is your biggest goal for 2019?
I'd say it's tripling Engage Rocket's revenue. So that's a huge goal. There's so many sub-goals behind that, but that's pretty much much the biggest one.
Awesome. And do you track your goals with your team in Engage Rocket on a weekly or monthly basis?
Yeah. So we're just getting the hang of using objectives and key results. So OKRs, I think, very popular in tech, popularized by Intel and Google. It's really more of a process than a document, right? And I think we sit every 2 weeks with the management team to go through our OKRs, and it's astounding how quickly we need to change objectives sometimes, and most of the time, like key results. We might find ourselves like going through just three sprints, and all of a sudden we're like, okay, these KRs don't make sense anymore. I think we need to change that. But yeah, so we're trying to get the hang of it. I think we're getting better each time, but I wouldn't say we're anywhere near perfect.
Okay. Next question: name the biggest trend in the next 5 years that interests you.
This has got to be the democratization of AI and analytics. I think it's been an esoteric field up to this point, but over the past 1 or 2 years, we're starting to see a huge proliferation of applications of AI in every part of life. And I'm super curious as to how far technology companies can actually take this level of democratization to help with decision support, automation, like automating like complex decision making, and just getting things done in smarter ways. I think that's super interesting for me.
Great. And last question: what is the one piece of advice you would give your 20-year-old self?
Don't take myself too seriously. I think I think definitely taking yourself seriously reduces your ability to take risks, because you don't want to fail. It reduces your creativity because you self-censor a lot of options that might pop to mind. I definitely say that, you know, life isn't what it seems when you're a 20-year-old guy who's just graduated.
Perfect. So pay attention to AI and analytics. Don't take yourself too seriously. Chitung, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Logan.